For you have not walked this path this far to stop now, says the Lord. Yes, the enemy has raged, and the enemy still rages against all that I've called you to do, and he will stop you if you're stoppable. But I speak not only to these here present in this room, but I speak to all who have heard the call to follow me, says the Lord, all the way into this revival. For I will not relent, and my character in you will not relent if you yield, surrender all to me and you. And you will accomplish all that I've called you to do, for you will let him who conquers conquer in you until he conquers all around you, says the Lord. Whew. Well, he's got a lot of conquering to do around us, around the world too. And have you noticed the enemy hates freedom? So turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm just going to do my best to follow today. Of course, I've been trying to do that always. But again, today is like the scribe who brings things out old and new. And I'm really going to go back to some old things. 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is a verse that if it wasn't in my Bible, I would call anybody a preacher who says it a liar. Yeah, any preacher who says it, I'd call him a liar. I would say it's not possible. Trouble of it is in my Bible. And that means it's true. So 2 Corinthians 3:18, I'm going to read it first out of the King James. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, of course you know that means mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now when it says we are being changed into that same image, that's the part that, if it wasn't right here, if it wasn't in my Bible, and I just heard some preacher preach that, I'd probably stand up and say, you're a liar. Because it's talking about Jesus. Do you know who I are? Gary Carpenter? Faults with legs? Problems going somewhere to happen? Me? I can be changed? You must mean some lesser image. You must mean some vague, wispy, ghostly, somewhat similar to. But see, the trouble is, if you look that word up, it means same. It means the same image. Now, let me read it to you now out of the Amplified. The Amplified Classic Version, by the way. I don't like the new one. And all of us as we, 2 Corinthians 3:18, Amplified. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, who does it come from? It comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, for a while, I listened to a preacher just using, I love the King James. Everyone knows here that I love the King James. But in this case, it didn't do us a great job because it left out that part about from one degree to another. And constantly being transfigured. And it's using the right word there, transfigured, instead of really, well, transformed is okay. But It's the Greek word that I always pronounce somewhat wrong, where we get our word metamorphosis from. It's the same word. We are being transformed, metamorphosized. We all understand metamorphosis when it comes to the caterpillar, and so that's the easiest one to think about. See, and religion is always trying to get caterpillars to fly. You're brand new, you're born again, but you're like a baby, like Alan taught, like Alan's been teaching for a year and a half. But it needs to be taught. It's kind of like the born again trail. It's just got to be over and over and over until we get it. And I understand that as a teacher. But religion will do that. They'll harness you. You know, you got born again at the Sunday service. By Wednesday night, they've got you on the street evangelizing, even though your calling may not be that at all. Or they'll get you involved in the soup kitchen. They'll get you involved in clothing the naked. All of those things are good, and none of them are bad. But if you stay there all the time, just being harnessed, if you're a caterpillar and never gone through, did you notice it says constantly being transfigured? And notice from one degree of glory to another. There was a preacher I was listening to for a while that just used the King James Version, and I love the King James, but the way he taught it, let me go back to the King James so it's easy to see. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, he taught that as a one-time event. It's comparing the glory of the first covenant with the glory of the covenant we're in. So he was just saying, well, that change happened instantly. When you got born again, you're no longer under the first covenant. You're born again under the second covenant. And from there, he launched there was a lot more doctrine that came after that, saying, really, you're born full grown. And sorry, no babies born. My mother's really glad I was not born full grown. How many mothers would agree with that, you know? But I was complete. I was complete. You know, the doctor played a trick on my dad. You know, back in those days, fathers were not allowed to be in the delivery room. And so we waited in the waiting room. That's why they called it the waiting room. Anyway, but we waited there and smoked. Well, most of us did. So my dad was waiting and waiting. And finally the doctor comes in. Yes, yes, you have a son. Yes, oh, good glory. And then the doctor said, but I have some bad news for you. What? Well, he doesn't have all of his toes on one foot. Of course, there's downcast, you know. And then the doctor says, no, half of his toes are on the other foot. And I'm surprised my dad didn't kill him right there, you know. See, I was born complete. I had all my toes, had all my eyes, fingers, arms, born complete. But could I drive the car to the prayer center that day? I don't think so. Couldn't even talk. Couldn't change myself. You talk about, see, babies make messes, but we put babies on the front lines all the time. They've not had time to mature. They've not had time to grow. They've not had time to, I'm going to do it, metamorpheo. It's probably wrong again. They haven't had time to go through the metamorphosis. And again, the analogies are not just with babies. You take a fruit tree. And we could go to, in fact, let's do that. We're close. Let's go to Galatians 5. Talk about the fruit of the Spirit again, just for a moment. See, and that preacher meant well. He really did. He's trying to get the body of Christ to grow up, but see, the problem of it is a caterpillar can't fly and a baby can't drive the car and an immature fruit tree doesn't produce fruit. And I know you can yell at it, stand at it, encourage it, bribe it, threaten it with chainsaws. But an immature tree just cannot produce fruit no matter how bad it might want to and no matter that it's called to. You understand what I mean by that? Its destiny is to produce fruit. But see, here's the fruit of the Spirit. This is Christ in you, if you'll allow me. But verse 22, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and that should be a little S, although the Holy Spirit has all the same attributes, but it's really not talking about the Holy Spirit here. It's talking about you compared with your flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, the real you, the mature you, can I say the mature you? Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance is a lot to do with self-control. It has a lot to do with endurance. It has a lot to do with when you've done all to stand, stand. Against such there is no law, but notice what it's called. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit only comes one way, and that is maturity. Now, Jesus taught on this so simply. He got it down to Jane see the ball level. I mean, he got it down where we should not have missed this. When he taught in Mark 4 and other places about the sower soweth the word. And again, the first level of that is if you need healing, you sow the word of healing into you, and eventually you will reap a crop of healing. If you need prosperity, there was a time when he had me sow 3 verses by speaking them out loud over and over, 4 hours a day for months, till eventually a crop of prosperity began in me that's still producing to this day. That's a valid level. It's a good place to start, but that's not ultimately what this is about. See, when it says the sower sows the word, ultimately Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. God sowed Christ, the word, into you when you got born again. And Jesus says now, so let's stay with that. That's the word that has been sown. Christ. Can I say full image? Christ. See, every seed has the full image in the seed, but it's still a seed. I'm going to say that again because that's just really good. Every seed has the full image in the seed, but at the beginning it's still just a seed. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, the kingdom of God is if a man casts seed into the ground and he rose night and day, but the seed grew up, he knoweth not how. And it's progressive. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He's talking about maturity, isn't he? He's talking about maturity. But you don't stop until a maturity process has come to harvest. So in the context, you don't harness them and put them to work until they grow up. Right after that, the next thing Jesus said to give us another witness that we could all understand, he talked about a mustard seed. A mustard seed. He said, the kingdom of God is like sowing a mustard seed. And somebody in Israel one time sent me an actual little mustard seed that was in a little container. I'm telling you, that thing was so small it looked like a grain of pepper. And mustard in America only grows about belt high, but the mustard that they have in Israel grows to be a tree about 3 times as tall as me. So it's what, 12, 15, 18 feet tall? And you think that tree comes out of something small as a pepper grain? You mean there's the image? Now get this straight. There is an image already complete that's in that pepper grain seed. The moment that I put it in the ground? Yes, sir. That's exactly what happened when you got born again. But it wasn't a mustard plant. It was Christ, the Son of the living God. The Word Himself. And I'm saying full image was sown in you. And I thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson, who is the only preacher, teacher, that I've ever heard that would tell me how do you make it grow? I have it in me. Now see that song. I grew up with that song. I thank God. I remember Stacy. I grew up with that song. I tried to sing it last week, and we already knew that was a doomed thing for many reasons. But I surrender all. Well, that's a good start. I surrender all. When we mean it, but what in reality we're sowing a big toe's worth, you know, tiny amount usually when we say that. But if you keep spending time with the Holy Ghost, progressively you're going to surrender more. You're going to surrender more. Things that, yes, katashikwai kolomo, okay. All right, so this is the time that he had me print out two things that I'm going to read today. And this is the time to read the first one. How do you know? He just said so. Now, this is a word that he just spoke to me. I was in the trucks. This is the last thing that I have recorded, at least, that the Lord said to me back in 1994, before I left the trucking and went full-time in ministry, which we didn't have any ministry. But let's see. So this is on November 27th, 1994. And on December 4th, 1994, that night, was when that incident happened with my heart. And I left. I never drove another truck after that. So this is right near the end of that season where I was praying 40, 50, 60 hours a week in the trucks. Now, would you call that a fair commitment? You know, I mean, surrendering, Gary, but at the same time, I was smoking like a freight train. Now, I wasn't going to bars. I'd long since been delivered from alcohol. I wasn't going to the bars or anything like that, but I wasn't free from smoking. When I think about the movies that I watched then, that I would never watch now. How many know I'm in First John saved now? That's a long time later, see. But then I think about the type of movies that I would watch, and I don't remember feeling my conscience pricking me. It's probably because I had seared it from doing that so often. My language was pretty good. That had changed a lot. I really couldn't be motivated by money, but I did not, I'll tell you right now, I did not know God as my provider. If you'd asked me, I'd have told you that I did. But Alan and I, if you'd asked Alan, he'd have told you the same thing. Well, we both found out. We thought we knew him as provider. Alan, you want to have to go through all those lessons again? He's going, no, please God, no. See, I don't ever want to forget what I learned, but I don't want to have to go through that again. See, we cut in. Okay. I'm doing my best. See, I know what's the next thing that I'm going to read. He's preparing us now to finish the journey that he's called us to, which is this outpouring of revival, the real one, not by the gifts, but where he can flow through us like a rushing mighty river. Out of your belly shall flow rivers, not streams, not brooks. That new life in you is like a well, and it's always there, and you can always drink from that well. But he's talking about a rushing, mighty river pouring out of us by the Holy Ghost that's going to change the world. And I mean going to change the world. But see, we've got to mature if we're going to handle that kind. Handle is not the right word. We've got to mature for that kind of power flow to flow through us. Because that kind of power flow also comes with judgment. It always has, always will. And he's trying to purge, the Holy Spirit is trying to purge us. See, I'm seeing so many pictures, they're going so fast I can't keep up with them. But remember that he had me go through the Old Testament again, go through 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. I couldn't believe. Really, I guess I'd read it before, but when I saw the idols that they brought, Israel brought idols into the temple of God. I mean, not far from the Holy of Holies. Can you imagine them bowing down to an idol of Baal that they brought in there? Can you? It's a good thing I'm not God. They'd all been toast. Talk about long-suffering, which is one of those attributes. Love. Jim Martin just did a series down at Pastor Bronx's church. And in the first one, he went back to when Moses was first instructed to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. The detail that was involved in that. I mean, this took time. It took money. It took lots of people. They had to make it this way and not that way. The curtains had to be this thick and not that thick. This had to be covered with gold. This had to be done another way. The detail is immense, and the number of laborers and the expense of it. And you weren't allowed to deviate from it one little bit. I mean, it had to be done just exactly the way God said. And God says, now when you get finished with that, then I will meet with you there. Well, what's that a type of? Christ in you. Christ in you. He's building Christ in us no less than they were building that temple in that tabernacle in the wilderness. It's got to be prepared this way, not that way. You got to react like this and not like that, Gary. I got a good glimpse of Gary yesterday, by the way. Yeah. What do you mean? Well, you have him too. Not of Gary. Glimpse of yourself, you know what I mean? And you go, is there any hope? He is the God of hope. Thank God he's changing us into that image, the image of Christ, and not the image that we are already. All right, so back to what he said to me. I think it's the last thing I have that I wrote down that he said to me before leaving the trucks and leaving that season. So I wrote here, I says, I keep seeing a teaching vision of a man who had one strong leg and one withered leg. In this vision, he used a staff to help support himself upright. I couldn't help but think this looked a lot like Jacob after he had wrestled with God and prevailed. But in that wrestling, he had been touched in his thigh, causing the sinew to be withered. Y'all remember all of that? But now here's what the Lord said to me. And before I read this, now remember, this is 1994. This is 4 years before Dave started teaching on the Born Again Trail. I'd never heard the Born Again Trail. What I'm saying that to say, this is God. Because Gary didn't even know. We hadn't had the Born Again Trail yet. We hadn't had the worship limb yet. We sure hadn't heard Dave talk about that room of love, you know, where the vault and the door cracked and he got in there a little bit. You remember all of that? That was all years later. But I read this and I'm going, I didn't know any of that. So the Spirit said this to me. The reason the charismatic renewal has been so loose in its morals and weak in the fiber of its character is that it is imbalanced concerning the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The church has prevailed sufficiently to receive the revelation that man cannot save himself by his own efforts in the flesh. It knows that it must switch its dependency from the arm of the flesh to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. This is the door that allows them, both good and bad, into the sheepfold of the grace of God. On this leg, the church is very strong. So that's the strong leg. Once in the sheepfold, however, the church does not know how to properly employ the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to purge them from infirmities of the flesh. This is precisely where the church is lame. On the one hand, the church hesitates to revert back to the arm of flesh or willpower to overcome these things. On the other hand, it does not know how to employ the power of the Spirit to accomplish the desired changes in its character and habits. The progress of the church has been greatly impeded. That means slowed down, stopped. Slowed way down, mainly. By its being caught in the middle by the tension created by these two methods, flesh or spirit, willpower, God power. Okay. That lack of progress That lack of progress has caused repeated failures by unpurged flesh and has allowed the enemy to bring great reproach upon the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. The coming revival at the prayer center will not only be accompanied by signs and wonders to draw the masses to Jesus, but will be my fountainhead whereby the church at large will receive a fresh revelation of how to employ the power of the Spirit to produce the character of Jesus in the church. Hello, fruit. That character will be spirit-born and spirit-molded. The fruit of that character will be true holiness. Well, there it is. Did you know this is before the book was written? This was before the book was written. See, I'm not that smart. I barely know that stuff now, much less 1994. Come on. So how important is this revival? Yes, sir. I heard it. When Dave got a glimpse of that door, I just heard this recently on one of his worship tapes. So when Dave got a glimpse of the room he calls love, sometimes he called it the room of compassion. When he got a glimpse of that, he said, "What is this place, Lord?" And one way the Lord described it, I hear Dave's voice teaching it. He said, "Oh, that's the room where preachers quit falling. That's the room where preachers quit falling." Why? Metamorpheu. Transformed to the same image. Same image of Christ. So yes, we're pressing into a revival of signs and wonders. Like he says, that's the dinner bell that draws the masses to Christ so they can see, then hear the gospel, believe, repent, and be saved. Amen. But see, he's also restoring the image of the firstborn, the image of Christ to people in the church. How that happens is maturity in no other way. Alan last week, seems like forever ago since the storm we had, but Alan last week was taking us to one of Peter's epistles where he says, desire the sincere as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The wording in that is so precise. One time the Holy Spirit put it to me like this. He said, milk is that which has been pre-digested by another. Now the image there is not you take the baby or you drive to the store to get baby formula. Although that's okay. That's really how I was raised. I was raised on baby formula. So people go, so that's what happened to you. Anyway. But the image could not be more clear. He's talking about a baby drawing milk directly from the mother's breast, which is God's original plan. But where did the mother get the milk? Well, she ate food like carrots and green beans. And if it's, you know, like if it's my mom, hot dogs, hamburgers and pizza. But she ate solid food. She ate solid meal. Digested that. The milk that goes to her baby is food that has been pre-digested by another. Did you know that's the teacher's ministry in the body of Christ? That is the teacher's ministry. My job is to digest the meat of the word. Now, it depends on your maturity level. See, here you can serve it pretty well just directly. But if God was to send me to the churches I grew up in, I can't teach a message like today. I mean, I would have to start, dear Lord, Jane, see the ball. You know, they love God, and you got to treat them with respect, and you better not hurt them. They're God's kids. You better not hurt them. But you can't throw a T-bone steak there and expect them to be able to eat it. I got to take them right where they are, you know. Tongues is, the Holy Spirit is alive. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. You know, you'd have to start there. Probably couldn't mention tongues for the first 6 months. First you got to get them acquainted with the Holy Ghost somehow, you know. Anyway. Yes, sir. Oh, really? Go to Romans chapter 8. You knew we'd get there. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at some verses that Dave did teach on, but he didn't teach on them very much. Thank God for Pastor Dave in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to tackle a difficult verse. Whole denominations teach this verse from a natural understanding instead of a spiritual understanding. And they're God's kids, and I'm sure not trying to hurt anybody. But it's this one, verse 29, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I don't want to mention names, but there's not just one denomination, but several actually, that take this verse to mean that God has predestinated, he decided who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. I don't know, I remember sharing with you years ago, I used to get a ride when I delivered trucks to Alabama. Can't think of the town right now, but Alabama. No airport there. After I'd get the trucks delivered, then this lady would give me a ride, and sometimes more than one driver, we'd ride with her for about an hour and a half to Birmingham, where we'd fly out. That's the closest airport. And this lady was one of those that believed in predestination. So she and I would have lively debates in the car. And I like her. Her name's Catherine. Good lady, loves the Lord. Today she's in heaven. I have no doubt she's in heaven. So you can believe a lot of squirrely things, and as long as you don't destroy the foundation, which is Christ and Him crucified. Just read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He'd take us there every now and then to remind us. Yeah, a lot of your teachings, a lot of your doctrine on that day will be burned up like fire, but you yourself will escape. Now you might smell like smoke, but you'll make it in as long as you don't destroy the foundation. Well, the foundation is Christ and Him crucified. But she and I would have lively debates, and I'd try everything in the world. I'd go, now wait a minute. You're telling me that God decided before the foundation of the world whether Gary Carpenter would be saved. So it doesn't matter whether I hear the gospel and accept it or not. She said, that's right. I expected her to not agree with that. No, that's right. It's already all been decided. I said, what do you do? So I'd throw all the verses I could think of. What about, whosoever shall believe upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, you know. Well, that's whosoever that he chose. And I never did, of course, convince her at all. She was even more hard-headed than me, and that's pretty hard-headed. Sweet lady, though, do anything for you. I have no doubt she's in heaven today. I will say the word Calvinism is what I'm talking about. And there's more than one denomination that kind of hold to that doctrine. But that's not what it means. It's just not what it means. It never will be what it means. I want to read that same verse to you out of the Amplified. Now remember, the Amplified sticks closer to the Greek language that all of our Bibles are translated from. The Greek language was much more expressive than English. Every word, the verbs carry these tenses and different things that you have to be a Greek scholar, really, to understand what they're saying. Which I'm not a Greek scholar, but I thank God that they did produce the Amplified. Greek scholars and Hebrew scholars produced it. So, it would help if I got to that verse, wouldn't it? Hang on. So that would be Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29 out of the Amplified. For those whom he foreknew. Now, stop. It says here, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand. Now, he knew them beforehand. Okay? Yes, sir. I'll stop right there for a minute. Now, listen. I saw me preaching last week. I hope you heard that lesson where one species, there's only two species on planet Earth. One is dead, one is alive. And the day that Jesus was baptized, God counted that as an accomplished fact. Let me say it this way. The day that Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die for his own sins, did he? Who's he dying for? Ours, but specifically all the descendants of Adam, past, present, and future. I mean, as far as God's concerned, the whole species, no, I'm using that word on purpose, not race. I don't care what color your skin is, we're all the species of Adam when we're born of our mother. But in God's mind, the whole species died when Christ died. Adam is dead. And I mean the whole species. And it didn't matter if he was born 2,000 years later, you died that day in Christ. You were judged, found guilty, and executed for your sin in him. He just did it for you. But see, when God raised him from the dead, in the same way that he saw the whole species of Adam die on that day, when Jesus was not just raised from the dead, but born from the dead, when he was raised glorified and seated at the right hand of God, in God's mind, all of us were too on that very same day. Do you think God knows everything? I believe he does. I believe he knows all who are born of Adam. He knows all who are born of Christ, whether it's then or 2,000 years later. Whom he foreknew. He knew you'd be a believer in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what this is talking about. Because just because he knew you does not mean he forced you to become saved. There's a big difference between knowledge and coercion. Whom he foreknew, he knew you. Okay. I'm preaching way better than anybody's amen in, but I'm going to keep on anyway. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning. Now, that's a much better translation. He destined from the beginning. I like to say it this way. He made a decision from the very beginning that he will never change from. Doesn't that sound like him? He destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son, and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. So when the Lord was getting this passage across to me, this really in conjunction with 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we started with, that it's his plan that we be metamorphosized, changed into that same image. And I was struggling with that. It seemed my religious head was really having trouble with this. You mean the same image? And this, that's really what you're talking about here also in Romans 8:29. And I was so struggling with it. And then finally he broke through the fogginess And he said, it's always been my plan from the very beginning. Read Genesis 1 again. Let's read Genesis 1 again. Now hold place. I think we're coming back there. But Genesis 1, you can't go back a whole lot farther. You're trying to show me from the beginning this was always his plan, that man would be in the image of his son. That man would be in the image. See, because the son is the express image of God. You find that out in Hebrews chapter 1. We won't turn to it again. But Jesus Christ, he is the express, that means the exact image of God. Jesus himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am his express image. And it was always God's plan. So Genesis 1 verses 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our what? In our image. After our what? After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. He didn't leave you women out either. What was his original plan? That man would be in the likeness of God. The Son is the express image of God. And he's conforming us to that same image. But it's not a one-time event going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, like that preacher said. No, it's a progressive change. It's like the caterpillar going through the metamorphosis. Caterpillar can't fly, and the church has got to quit trying to make them fly. You got to go through the maturing process. You got to go through the metamorpho. You got to go, metamorpheo. You got to go through the purging. Why do you think all this fire and purging has been about? I got a good look again at Gary yesterday, which is not a good look. There's still major portions of me with all my best efforts. And that's a good way to put it. With all my best efforts, still, there is metamorphoing that needs to keep happening. There's parts of me that have to be, it's more than... human effort cannot do this. This is what Dave taught us again. He would just start with love, just plain old love. You know, he says, you can try that. And he'd tell us the parable of the husband that was trying to show love to the wife, and he'd make her favorite breakfast and put her favorite flower on the tray and serve it to her every morning. And it'll work for a while. I mean, you know, you can do that for a while, but then one day he burned the toast or something, and she said she didn't like that, and don't we have anything in this house besides pancakes? And the deal's on again. And that's human effort. And it won't change you. You can modify your behavior for a while, but it won't change you. But see, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says we are changed. It's got to be by the Spirit of the Lord, though. I thank God for Dave Roberson in the book. I thank God for Dave Roberson in the Born Again Trail. I thank God for Dave Roberson teaching us how to pray the mysteries of God. I thank God for Dave Roberson taking us repeatedly to Jude. Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How would I do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. You know how you keep yourselves in the love of God? You obey his commandments. He says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He that loveth me is the one that keeps my commandments. All right. The end result of this lesson is to keep doing the blueprint. I have finally come to a great revelation. There's no human on planet Earth that can get me where he wants us to go. If there was, I would sit under him or her. And it can be taught. I know it can be, but it can't be taught by people that's not there. Oh, boy, did I say that out loud? Dave would teach that too. He'd talk about the airline pilot. Well, not a pilot really, but a guy who was teaching people how to fly. So here you've got the teacher and this little airplane, little Cessna or something's got two yokes, right? And two sets of controls. And so he's teaching this student how to fly, but all of a sudden there's a problem. Problem of some kind. And the student says, teacher, teacher, take the wheel. He says, I don't fly these things. I just teach. That's not going to work. We got to fly this thing. I believe all hell came against Dave to stop him from entering that room. I believe all hell came against him. I think we know the tiniest bit. I was remembering today about those angels that were assigned, trying to lead him off. The singing angels. At first he thought they were angels, you know. He asked Rosalie, do you hear that singing? She'd listen in the house. What singing? And I think one time he said, come put your ear right against the wall right here. Because to him, these angels were singing. And somehow it was coming out of the wall, he thought. So Rosalie puts her ear to the wall. She says, you hear singing coming out of there? He said, I do. She said, I don't think you should tell anybody. And I had forgotten, see, that happened two separate times, really, two seasons of that. And I had forgotten, till I reread some notes, both of those were when Dave was on seeking times. He was fasting, a longer fast, both times. So what's the enemy doing? Now, eventually, you know, got exposed. He did a song request, you know, Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. When they started singing that, he knew those were not angels. So he dismissed them then. But see, the thing of it is, why that? Trying to divert him off into something that's not real. Trying to make him think you're special. You're the only one that can hear these angels. See, and that tactic has worked before on other preachers. William Branham thought some things. And I admire William Branham. Dear Lord, I'm not worthy to hardly carry their sweaty coat. Alexander Dowie changed the world. Really? All of the preachers that came out from under his ministry. And he was against tongues, for crying out loud. But see, without that metamorpho, it's a dangerous thing to keep pressing in without the change. Because what happened, he came to the place where he thought he was Elijah to come. He was the absolutely Elijah to come. And I forget, one of them, Branham or him, I don't remember which one of them thought that their palate, their jaw, was specifically made different from anybody else on earth, and they were the only ones that could successfully pronounce the word Yahweh, if I remember right. I forget which one of them. But see, it's just things like that. They were after Dave, trying to get him off into something. I was there that time at Jim Martin's church. That after, oh boy, I don't know if you could feel that. I felt something swish through here in a good way. I think the Lord is pleased. But I was there that service when Dave finished at Jim Martin's church, and it was a wonderful Dave service, you know, humor. wonderful doctrine. People got healed. Signs. It was just wonderful. And of course, Dave was exhausted, and so he left and went back to the back into Jim's office while Jim and the rest of us were still in there, and Jim was kind of closing out the meeting. But when we get back into the room, there is a presence there. I've been in that room a lot of times. Never felt that. We could all feel it when we walked in. We said, what's going on? Dave says, just for a moment. He said, I saw that room again. It was like that steel vault, like a banker's, the door on a big safe with a round thing and levers and all. He said, but it was open. And light was just streaming from out behind that thing. But this time I managed to get in there just for a minute. I couldn't take it for more than about a minute. The love of God, it was absolutely the love of God. And he said, I'm telling you, while I was in there, my attitude was, let's don't go to the hospital and pray for the kids. We're going to the hospital. We're going to get them out. See, how many times did Dave talk about that? But see, he was getting dangerously close to living there. Now, I'm just telling you plain, our job, where's Dave? I believe it with all my heart. If he was standing here right now, he would say, you show me your dust. I'm counting on you to fling that door wide open and get in there and live there all the time. That door is open to you. Which brings me to this another prophecy that came. This one came in 2006. The day is coming soon, where my presence, just my presence, will be the catalyst upon which the miracles spring forth. What is birthed in the Spirit cannot be quenched. For I have a plan, says the Lord, and you have been walking in that plan longer than you think. So, stop. What's the plan? 2006, what's the plan? It's everything that David taught us. It's the born-again trail. It's everything. The message that has come to maturity. Okay. So you've been walking in that plan longer than you think. And a new door is upon you now. The door is not locked. The door is opened. Few have entered this room, primarily for a lack of knowledge. Primarily for a lack of knowledge. Now, Dave did enter in. He told us that he did. He was only able to stand it. He said, I was only able to stand it for about a minute. It's all I could stand, the love of God. Back to the word that came, 2006. Oh, yes, the treasures in this room. As you behold the treasures in this room, all that you have ever seen with the natural eye will seem as nothing. And nothing from that natural realm will ever satisfy again. The foundation had to be wide. The foundation had to be deep, and the foundation had to be strong. Now listen, for at this door is where the hordes of hell gather, because at all costs, none must enter here. But the foundation has been laid, and I find courage here. I find courage in this place, says the Lord, and hunger that cannot be quenched, except with my best. Stay firm on the foundation and walk into this next room with me. Your eyes will soon see that which you have desired. Be blessed. You are greatly loved, says the Spirit of grace. You are greatly loved, says the Spirit of grace. Let's go into that room. Let's get in there and stay in there. Because I know that's where revival lives. We'll see you in 30 minutes.